Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
WPHM or podcast WPHM.net for Our Savior Lutheran as we begin our worship on this September 29th, fifth Sunday. So welcome to this place. Good morning. And for those on radio, we gather this day, service of the word. But at the second service, when we have the confirmation here, we call it Bible Sunday. So you'll see the Bibles up here. I'll present the Bibles to the 8 students here at our church for confirmation instruction on Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. I find it so much easier for class study, and I do this with adults. Even though you may have a particular favorite Bible, when we come together, you could have 10 different translations, and it gets confusing what they're saying, okay? Because you can't track it before your eyes. So consequently, I like to use the Good News Translation. A little bit of background for those on radio. This Bible, when it was translated into our English language from Hebrew and Greek, was geared, and scholars know how to do this, for age appropriate for sixth graders. You know, they say that the military documents to teach the military how to read and the manuals are geared for sixth grade. I guess they're not having great expectations about who's entering the military, but it's set like that. So too is this Bible's translation. It's easier to get your hands on it, understand it, and wrap your brain around it so that you can profit from instruction from God's word. So we present it today, encourage the youth to bring it every Wednesday evening for class. Use it at home for your homework. You may have been given a prior translation by grandparents and anything, maybe at the time of your baptism, and now it's time to crack the dust and open up the book. But the good news we use in the class time. So that will take place for the 8 students. Our radio broadcast this day is sponsored by Donna Taylor, as well as the flowers on the altar, which are just gorgeous, in memory of her husband, Roger, who has passed away 3 years ago. So that we receive graciously from Donna Taylor. The watering of the flowers, Terry Ruff, you are in charge this week unless rain wipes you out. You can pray for rain. Service of the word, if you'll please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God. He's the strength of our ancestors. He's the host of this meal. He's the builder of the city that is still to come. Amen. If we have died with Christ, we will also live with Christ. If we confess our sin, let us do so and be faithful. God, our helper, we confess the many ways we have failed to live as your disciples. We have not finished what we began. We have feasted with friends but ignored the strangers. We have been captivated by our possessions. Lift our burdens, gracious God. Refresh our hearts and forgive our sin. Raise us to new life you have chosen for us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. There is rejoicing in heaven when sinners repent. Put your trust in these promises. God will never leave you. God will not forsake you. You who are lost have now been found. So for the sake of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Rejoice with the angels at this good news. Amen. Our entrance hymn, we sing the first two verses, verse 1 and 4, just two verses.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We continue, like the first hymn, our praising of our great God. Hymn of praise, we bring the sacrifice of praise. Lord be with you. If you join me in the prayer for this day, we'll pray together. O God, rich in mercy, you look with compassion on this troubled world. Feed us with your grace. Grant us the treasure that comes only from you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated. Bill Price brings us our first reading from the Old Testament.
The first reading for this Sunday is from the sixth chapter of Amos, selected verses. Alas, for those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria, alas, for those who lie on beds of ivory, and lounge on their couches, and eat lambs from the flock, and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but who are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Bill. And the hymn of the word this day is, God's word is our great refuge, and we'll sing it. Psalm for the day, Psalm 146, we'll read it responsively. The antiphon, bold text, but included, the Lord gives justice to those who are oppressed. We begin. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live, and I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in rulers, immortals to whom there is no help. When they breathe in their last, they turn to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish. But the Lord gives justice to those who are oppressed. Happy are they who have the Lord, the God of Jacob, for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps promises forever, and who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and the widow, but he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Alleluia. The Lord gives justice to those who are oppressed. Our second reading, Kay Price brings us the word.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Timothy is reminded of the confession he made at his baptism and of its implications for daily life. His priorities will be different from those of people who merely want to be rich. The second reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 19. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. In their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierce themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, it is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous, and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kate. If you're able to stand, if you'll please rise for the gospel. We speak together the gospel acclamation. Alleluia! You know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Alleluia! The gospel of the day from Luke 16, verse 19 through 31. Glory to you, O Lord. So Jesus said, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate there was a poor man. His name was Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and just lick his sores. The poor man died. He was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died. He was buried. In Hades, he was being tormented. And he looked up and he saw Abraham from afar
with Lazarus, who was standing by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I'm in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things. Lazarus, in like mind, received evil things. But now he is comforted here, you are in agony. And besides all this, between you and I, there is a great chasm which has been fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Father Abraham, I beg you, send him to then my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he might be warned, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses, they have the prophets, they should listen to them." Then he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if you go and tell them from the dead, they will repent." And he said to them, "If they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if somebody should rise from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. For those on radio joining us from our Savior porch here, in God's grace, mercy, and peace be upon all of us this day. Amen. You can follow the sermon outline. You can follow me as we go through the scriptures. I encourage you to encounter the word through the scriptures as well. Last 4 weeks, if you've been here for several of those services and listened to the scripture, you'd say, "Boy, God really has something against the rich. He seems to favor the poor," and all the texts speak to that. Then why do we have the rich? Why do we have the poor? Human sin, separation, disobedience, self-centeredness, self-focused, narcissistic attitude keeps us enchained into our society and every kind of economic system there is. Be mindful of that. Pray for discernment. How to discretionary use our resources God gives us economically, as well as life and time, so that we use it to benefit people, not just ourselves. So always in the Old Testament, as with today, from Amos, there's been a warning. Last week it was, "How dare you people who call yourselves followers of Yahweh, content with living with the social and economic injustice, that you treat people as if they were product and not as people? How you could sell the poor for a pair of shoes? How you can discard them and throw them around without this recognition that they too were made in the image of God as much as you were? How can you treat your neighbor this way?" So today's text, alas, if you sit in comfort in your pompous possessions, your estates, your homes, the 5 or 6 residents you may occupy for tax purposes or for your pleasure, alas for those who sit upon beds of ivory, talking to the northern kingdom again, you lounge upon your couches, and then you eat lambs from the flock because you have a bounty of food at your hands. You have calves that come to you from your stalls. And then you sit there and you just sing and just do your own thing. You hear the music of a harp. You know that the instruments of music are playing. And then of all things, you drink wine from your bowls. You anoint yourself with the finest oils, perfumes, and cosmetics. But you are not concerned about the ruin of the descendants of Joseph, God's people. That's a rather pervasive grouping. You can look around our society and every society that's ever been here. It's not uniquely to this generation. We were talking in the adult class 2 weeks ago. If you've ever seen the movie The Men Who Made America, they were the early industrialists. The History Channel put it together. And you saw how ruthless they were. the Carnegies, the Rockefellers, and all of them. You realize that they amassed their wealth at the poverty of their employees, and then they did good works. They try to, like, buy favor in the eyes of the public or in the eyes of God. Only God knows what they were trying to do, rather than treat their neighbor and the ones who empowered them by their work and labors, that they might live a decent life too. It's true in every way. It was true back in the 60s when protest marches against poverty. It's true in this day, though nobody's marching. But the word of God has never changed. We may be silent about the injustice of what is around us, but God does not exonerate us from our behaviors. Next week is the Walk for Crop. We have many opportunities that we believers in Jesus Christ have a chance to befriend, support, and extend the wealth that we've been blessed in this nation with people who are less fortunate. Any given Sunday, we can bring in food, perishable items in the sense of cans and product, and bring them here and they'll go to the food depot. We have many ways to support the soup kitchen. In many ways, we're called to kind of stimulate our conscience that as long as there's one hungry, then God's not happy. I understand we don't want to hear it. And I know each individual will say, well, what can I do? There are many things we can do. And each little bit added by thousands, then millions of people, makes a significant difference. It's better than indifference and passivity. And then saying, oh, but I'm hurting, my finances are struggling. Hey, we all get it. But it's not as bad as many within our boundaries. So Amos prods the congregation, consider that you have been blessed. You are to be a blessing to other people. Then you go to the second reading after the psalm. Paul writing to Timothy. The last 3 weeks have been Paul's instruction to his brother that he is tutored to be a pastor. In his instruction this day, he says, you know, in your life, as a man of God, you need to grow in godliness with contentment. Now, this is applicable to all of us. It's not gender men, and it's not just his generation. These two qualities, godliness, living as if God wanted us to do these things, the choices we make, the discernment that is appropriate from God, and then contentment. The Apostle Paul, in another portion of Scriptures, Corinthians, he says, I learned to be content in all my circumstances. When I was poor, I accepted that stage of my life. When I came into some wealth and possessions, I said, thank you, Lord. I'm not looking for it, but thank you for the blessings. I've learned when I was set free and I could walk around as I pleased. I learned when I was encamped as a slave and a prisoner of Rome to be content in every situation that befriends me. I don't know about your life. I kind of trail back to the early days when Cheryl and I got married. As we moved from Dayton, Ohio back to the seminary, I am not a carpenter and I'm not Joseph's protege or son like Jesus was doing carpentry. But I remember I said, Cheryl, we need some furniture. Oh, I should have taken pictures. It really would have impressed you. No, not at all. I made bookshelves. I made a coffee table. I made an end table. But you know what? To us, it was the best because we made it. Then we grow up and we progress and we get full-time jobs and all these things. And we move from student to now a pastor in residence. And you get a little bit more and then you make some decisions about buying furniture and still buying cheap, but knowing it needed to be done for living, okay? As we go through stages of life, just think on your own journey, which you as a couple or as an individual have experienced. If you've been fortunate to be blessed at other stages of achievement, accomplishment, and you receive those blessings from God, understand they are from God. While they may seem like they are the fruit of your labors, they're still God's. One of the things the Apostle Paul speaks of here, he says, we brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it. One of the exercises, I'll do it for you as well. Please trust me. Close your eyes. As you close your eyes, let your brain kind of deal with that silence, the darkness. Because what you are seeing with your eyelids closed is what Paul said you brought into this world. Nothing. While your eyelids are still closed in that darkness, what you are seeing is what's going to leave when you die. You'll have nothing. Then you can open up your eyes. All the rest came from God. We don't like that because we feel obligation, as we should. Because we're the handmaids of God, shaped in the image of God, producing things that are God-pleasing with our time, our space, our energy, our talents. And when we do that, it makes Dad smile. When your kids prosper and do good things, you smile. And you're happy for them that they are prospering. But they ultimately, like us, have to be responsible. It's not ours. We're stewards of God's care. We should be mindful of that constantly, Paul says. So we will not give way to temptation to love money. This scriptural verse, verse 10 of the text, a lot of people misquote scripture, as is typical for people who don't know the Bible. They'll say, the love of money is the problem. No, it isn't. It's not money itself. It is the being consumed with having more, the drive, the zeal for love of money. But having it is a blessing that God affords through circumstances in an individual life. I think we've seen books have been written by people who come with windfall money. People who win lotteries, $10 million, $100 million. People get inheritances and get this windfall coming to their net worth. And then how they screw up their lives. Remember, what, about a decade ago, a couple in this community, St. Clair County, won a large lotto. They got arrested with breaking the laws and everything like that, and their life was down the tube. They wanted more. I think $10 million would satisfy me. How much more do you want? And there is the human problem. Luther in the Reformation was talking about this 500 years ago. This heart of ours wants and is driven to achieve those things and make them as if they were God's, whether it's wealth, power, prestige, to the forgetting of God, who is the source and the God who we are to serve. Then we got trouble. So we clearly understand what Paul is saying. He says, this is what God wants from you. This is the godliness and content, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. I appreciate that statement. To live in the world, but not of the world, is going to be a fight. We're going to stray the line, blur the boundary, and we're going to have to come back to the path over and over and over again. As God's word calls us to accountability. God's word challenges us. If we're not challenged, we're not listening to the real word of God. Luther says, the hammer of God, the scripture, are meant also to condemn us. And the good word of the scripture is to give us hope, promise, forgiveness. That's the gospel. Both are the tension you and I live in every day of our existence. And then he goes on to say, as for those in the present age who are rich, command them not to be haughty. Oh, yeah, right. Let's buy our kids a position in the college. Let's talk about what our wealth will give us, how we get priority treatment, because we're somebody. Oh, give me a break. You are not somebody if someone didn't give it to you. So forget being self-pride. And to set their hopes on the uncertainty of the riches. You know, as people watch the stock market and the fear of a recession, some crash coming, could happen, may not happen. But when we get anxious, it betrays our loyalty. Do we trust God, or are we going to make it happen for ourselves? That's a tough question. Rather, place your thoughts on God, who richly provides us for everything in our enjoyment. Do good. Be rich in great works, good works pleasing to God, generous, and be ready to share. I appreciate assistant to a bishop in Illinois district of the former American Lutheran Church. He would always say, people in the church don't realize they have three pockets from which they give. One is their wallet or cash in their pocket or purse. That's the most readily available lubricant kind of money of wealth. Second one may be that which is in a checking account or instruments of investment. The third one is the part we don't want to talk about, but it's where our net worth is. All the accumulation of house and all the estate and all the stuff we have, and realize how we're blessed. We got three choices. How we're going to execute stewardship, tithing, whatever you want to call it, from our net worth, our less fluid assets, as well as our first assets, the cash. And he would also say, most people think only of what's in their pocket or change. When they support God's work in the kingdom here, when indeed God has given us other ways of wealth that we don't want to talk about, but God knows, to be a steward in all these ways. So, come to the gospel lesson. Here we come to a parable. It doesn't start that way, but it says, there is a rich man. Jesus is spinning a tale, okay? Do not take it literal. When we die, we don't go up and see Father Abraham. Okay, this is Old Testament. That's all they know. So Jesus uses language that the average first century Jew would understand, okay? So this rich man, he just lived a very self-content life. He had it all at his fingertips. He could achieve whatever he wanted, like most of us Americans. Then there was a poor man, sat at his gate. The man had a name. Did you notice that the rich man does not be given a name? Is Jesus already saying his bias? Who gets a name? It's the poor man. His name is Lazarus. Jesus says, this man sat at the gate. It was so bad for him, he had sores all over his body, and the dogs came and licked him. You may say, oh, that's gross. Except if you remember that the dog's mouth is cleaner than a human mouth. And it can have some additional benefit. But regardless, it is disgusting, right? He could afford a physician, no medical care, no insurance. Sat there, just wasting away. Nobody gave him food. Nobody dropped crumbs. He said, I'm outside this guy's big established home, and he won't give me anything. Of course, in today's world, they'll have armed guards to keep people away. That's the way we are with our wealth. And so when they died, one went one way, one went the other way. The rich man says, oh, I'm suffering, Lord. Can you take this away? I'm in fire. I'm in pain. He says, no, Lazarus is resting up here. Well, can't you send Lazarus to give me just a drop of water? I mean, I'm not asking much, just give me a little bit. No, you don't get it. You're separated. We're separated. You can't make up for what you did in this world. Got it? Decisions are important now. So he says, oh, but let him go and tell my brothers. I have 5 living brothers. Spare them this experience that I am going through. Finally, he's thinking of somebody else. But it's only his brothers. So Jesus says, no. They have every opportunity. You did, and everybody has. Listen to the law. Listen to the prophets. They won't believe even if a dead man came back to life. Speaking of his resurrection. If they would believe because Christ was raised from the dead, then why aren't people believing? Well, in 2,000 years, it appears or feels like less are believing and more are becoming secular, forgetful, not mindful of earlier teachings in their life and fall from the faith. Because this world is sucking us down. As much as a spider makes a trap for its prey of insects, it funnels you down and it bites you. So too this world does for us. If we think that all there is what my eyes perceive, then you experience that's not true. We exist when our eyes are closed. We came into this world with nothing. We leave this world with nothing except our faith. And a life that reflects that faith in Jesus Christ. May the God of grace hold us all accountable, even though we don't like it, and grant us the wisdom to use what we have been blessed with for the work of our Lord. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Hymn of the Day, page 14, Lord, whose love in humble service. We sing.
Thank you.
As people of faith, we affirm that faith. Father, Son, and Spirit, please rise. We speak together the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Worship continues with our prayers, page 16. Marcia leads us.
Sustained and nurtured by our generous God, we gather as one to pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Watch over the church, O God, so that we place your good news above all worldly gain. Deliver us from the temptations of comfort and complacency. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over your creation, especially the life-giving water that sustains us. Heal oceans, rivers, and lakes around the world, where drought and floods make turmoil of our settled ways. Give strength for healing and rebuilding in affected communities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over the nations. Lead us away from fear and hatred. Show us instead how to welcome the stranger, give shelter to those fleeing violence, and provide food to those who are impoverished. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over those in any need. Have mercy on those who are grieving, suffering, lost, lonely, oppressed, underemployed, and imprisoned. And we remember in our prayers today, Susan Phillips, Jill Harper, Jared Lucas, Bob McMorrin, Bev Chittister, Patricia May, Maria Rompf, Donna Taylor, Joanne Kilborn, Kirk Langoff, Marilyn Wright, Crystal Lewis, and the family of Nick Whaley. Lord, we also ask that you would comfort those who were affected by the floods in Texas, the tornadoes in North Carolina, and all those in the path of Hurricane Dorian. Be with them as they rebuild their lives, Lord. We also remember and pray for those serving our nation, Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Solier, and Faye Wright, and all others serving our country, both here and overseas, and as they are returning home into our communities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over all caregivers. Give strength to those who attend to relatives, serve the sick, minister to prisoners, and bring food or communion to the homebound. May they bring joy to those they visit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks for the saints and their models of faithful living. Give us hope as we look toward the day when we will join them in your eternal presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. And gracious God, we ask your blessing to be with the newest couple, with Jeremy and Michaela Brown. Keep them strong in your love, Lord, and bless their days together as husband and wife. So assured by your promise to hear us, we lay our prayers before your throne of grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And if you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for Christ Church. As I indicated before, the flowers, beautiful flowers, and radio broadcast this day, sponsored by Donna Taylor. As I indicated in our prayers for Jeremy and for Michaela Hockenbeck, united in marriage yesterday, we had about 90 in the sanctuary. It was a beautiful wedding. There are photographs, a ton of them in the back. I had some time last night and this morning because I get up at 6 a.m. Oh, no, 4 a.m. So I was here at 6. I was making pictures and I made more since I was here. You can see pictures of the wedding for the Brown family. That is Mary Patterson's grandson. He has been truly raised in this congregation since probably 3 or 4 years of age. He's been here as part of the life of our Savior. He's also one of the special people who does our soundboard at the 11 o'clock service quite frequently every month. So we recognize him and his gift to this congregation, and now the two of them as gifts of God to us and our Savior. We also kind of recognize some things going on. As I mentioned, for the radio, let me put on the names of the confirmants so you just don't see the Bibles here and say, oh, there's some young people. No, it's Callie Creech, Jennifer Hudson's daughter, Gracie Deesing, who is Wally Deesing's granddaughter, Luke Deesing, Wally Deesing's grandson, Draven Erickson, grandchild of Eric, Ryan Propotnick, who is Sarah and Stan's son, Brooke Wushlager, and Madison Wushlager, and since she entered the sanctuary, Maxine's grandchildren, Gay, the mother, and back to our congregation. These are the young people in instruction. When we get together on Wednesdays with some of the parents, usually we get 3 to 5 parents, we are about 19 in the parlor. Oh, it's neat. Don't have to worry about heat, we generate it, and it's fun. And the kids have a good time too, and they learn. One of the things, just kind of let you in, they get the Bible today, but they are going to memorize all books of the Old and New Testaments before Christmas. Now, most of us did it without a reward. I have encouraged them for memorization because of work last year with the Ten Commandments. I told them I will take them out to dinner in December if they achieve 66 books of the Bible in sequence. I'm sure I could go to any one of you and you could recite them to me. See how our memory diminishes over time. Better to get it in while they're 10, 12, 13 years old. At least then they understand that God has spoken in many different ways by 66 books, not just one book called a Bible. Okay. 2 weeks on October 13th is our wonderful blessing of the animals. I've been asked by several people in the last few weeks, not associated with our congregation and not seeing it, what does that mean? Well, it's very simple. Bring your animals in. And obviously, I didn't choose the first Sunday of October, which many churches honor, because of communion. I didn't want people to say, having pets in here with the food or the wine and the bread is going to be sickening. No, I choose a non-communion Sunday, the second, every year for these 26. Consequently, at the appropriate time in the service, the pets come forward. Each one will get laying on of hands. I'll sanitize my hands afterwards, so I won't shake your hands and give you pet dander. I will do a blessing for each of the animals. And last week I indicated some of the kids in the confirmation class, knowing that I raise chickens and ducks. I have 6 chickens in my house, and I hope to launch them in the next day or two to the garage. But I'm going to bring one of them in since they wanted to see a chicken to be blessed. And I have brought them before here for blessing. So encourage all of you, those who listen, you don't have to be a member of our Savior to participate with us. Then I'm going to ask you, before you leave the sanctuary, if they're not readily available because we moved them for the wedding, but over in the far left under the narthex window will be the sign-up sheet for supporting a crop walker. Please, after the sermon, after God's word has been read to us, sign up for some kind of support. You can use the pew envelope in each pew for next week. Put your gift in it. Because the 8 do not necessarily know you, but before the year is over, they will know you, okay, by name, okay? So please support their walk next week. Our worship continues as our gifts are presented. We sing our offertory hymn, Please Rise. Sing verses 1, 5, and 6.
1, 5, 6.
Let us pray. God, our provider, we bring nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. Accept the gifts you have first given us, which we bring to your table, and with them the offering of our lives. Nourish us now with a life that really is life, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us, and this Sunday we sing the Lord's Prayer. Guard the good treasure that's been entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit that is already living in us. Almighty God, bless you with grace, mercy, and peace, now and forever. Amen. And the sending hymn is pulling out of the archives of perhaps your knowledge of hymnody, God be with you till we meet again. It's a different tune, but the same message. We'll sing it twice. Thank you.
live in love as Christ loved us. Thanks be to God.
Service of Our Savior Lutheran Church begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.